tell you what, it takes me right to a canoe or a kayak, and I know that a lot more people have been taking to our waterways in canoes and kayaks this year, and maybe you're one of them. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We have Chief Paddling Evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports as our next guest, Darren Bush. To talk with you about how the pandemic has affected his business and what suggestions he has for fall trips. And, of course, we want to hear from you. Have you been paddling? The great experiences this year? I hope you'll join in for that. Or maybe just some specific questions about canoe or kayak types or paddles or anything else associated with it. Join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Darren Bush, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Thank you for having me. It's kind of weird not sitting across from you in a studio.
Yeah, I know it. I've gotten used to it, but you haven't been on for a while. Last time we talked, it was a few days before Canucopia, and I believe it was the next day that you decided to cancel it because of the pandemic. It must have been a difficult decision. Any regrets on that?
Oh, of course not. I mean, yeah, it was tough, but it was the responsible thing to do. You know, I don't know if you know the story about it. It's been in the press. Basically, I went home about noon because I heard the governor's order about, you know, not recommending larger stuff. And I'm just like, you know, we're going to bring in, you know, 15, 20,000 people from all over the upper Midwest, and it'll be there. And my demographic for that show is at a high-risk group, and I told my wife we got to call it. So we called it, and I got up on a chair and gathered all my vendors around. Half of them were already setting up and ready to go, and I said, guys, we got to call it. And they started clapping, and I said, okay, so break her down, and prepared to be terrified. And basically went back and sat down in the war room with the staff, said, okay, we're going to get through this. How do we do this? And we just started firing off ideas and, you know, implemented a lot of procedures within about a week that really helped us to keep going. We put a call out for customers to buy gift cards, and we sold $50,000 of the gift cards in about a week and a half, which was a lovely infusion of cash when we were broke. And we have a great local bank who had our PPP loan processed in 3 days. And so after that, then it was April, and then we couldn't keep anything in stock.
Yeah, because, I mean, people are buying canoes and kayaks more and more, I think. Was it a kind of a surprise or not?
Definitely a surprise. Otherwise, I would have ordered twice as much stuff as I did. our warehouses are just to the walls. We're doing a lot of maintenance right now because we've never been able to get in there and do maintenance. And one of the maintenance things we're doing is we have a metal detector. We're finding all the lost knives and watches and everything that's fallen into it's a wood chip floor to protect the boats. So we're adding more chips and, you know, it's doing a lot of stuff. But, yeah, it's been crazy. And demand up. And then our manufacturers, of course, were shut down for a while. And then the supply chain has just been disrupted all the way back to the raw materials. So very interesting, though.
Yeah, indeed. Well, lots of callers online to talk with you about one thing or another. John in Brown Deer has something for us. Let's go there. John, hello.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for accepting my call. I sent you a number of articles about my canoeing exploits up in the province of Manitoba. And those articles were written by Mr. Ron Lays, of the outdoor editor of the Milwaukee Journal back in the mid-1980s. And hopefully you and your guests can take a look at them and review them. But I did some extensive canoeing, and both in the state of Wisconsin when I was much younger and up in Canada for a number of summers between the years of 1979 and 1986. So that was all well documented, and I had a lot of fun doing it. And I hope the younger generation has as much fun and enjoys it as much as I did when I was that age.
Well, John, thanks a lot for calling. And it's it is one of the great experiences to get out there in a canoe or a kayak these days. And just
yeah.
Paddle.
Yes, that is. I think Aldo Leopold had a quote that was something, no, Sigurd Olsen, about, you know, when a man slash person is part of a canoe, he's part of everything, you know, that ever was, right? Being out in, like, I can't remember the exact quote. Somebody will call in and correct me, I am sure. it's really, I did trip in May down the Wisconsin River, and thanks for having Mark on. It's nice to hear his voice too.
Yeah.
I was alone. It was middle of the week, so I didn't see anybody else. And, you know, I'm paddling along, and I realize at one point, everything I need to survive is in this boat right here with me. I am completely self-contained. In 14 and a half feet of boat, I've got everything I need. If I added a bag of food and a little bit of clothing, I could stay out there almost indefinitely. And there's a really wonderful feeling to being just completely self-contained and alone.
Yeah.
Alone was nice. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll get talk some more about some of those experiences. Wayne in Green Bay has an experience, I think, to share as well. Wayne, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. We were down at Rutabaga on Saturday, and they had a boat swap. And I actually talked to Darren about my boat, and I have an old C1. And I actually enjoyed very much walking around and looking at all the used boats. And we actually went inside, and I ended up spending a lot of money. My wife was real happy with that. I was looking around his shop, and a lot of the boats I have, he uses for decorations. And an old life jacket that he has on the wall, I still use. And so when I saw it up there, I was able to con myself into buying a different life jacket, which was cool. But we ended up going paddling on Sunday afterwards, because my wife, even though she wasn't enthused on me spending money, she was happy about and kind of excited about paddling. So we threw an old 17-foot Mohawk in the water, and we paddled for 4 or 5 hours down the Okano River. It's not a rapid. It's just a nice flat, flat water run. And anyway, it was a good time. So I enjoyed your tour. So,
Wayne, thank you.
And just so you guys know, a C1 is a canoe. And it has a deck on it. It's for slalom racing. If you ever see the Olympics, you see those guys in those skinny little boats that are about 6 inches thick. Mm-hmm. The difference is in a C1, you're actually kneeling. So it's somewhere between a canoe and a medieval torture device. They're just brutal. But so fun to paddle for short periods of time.
For short periods. Well, the boat swap, is that something that you do every year, Darren?
No, this was our first annual boat swap, and we were thinking about it in August. And, you know, we don't really have that many boats anymore. We need to have something, and it'd be fun, you know, get the community together. And we thought we'd get 30 or 40 boats. We got 150. And all sorts of weird stuff that was really cool. I mean, we got some newer stuff. We got some older stuff. We got some they're not quite collectible, but they're close. And people would walk in and go, I've always wanted one of those. Those haven't been made since 1992. And I'm like, there it is, you know. We took a baby commission just to, you know, make it worthwhile to put stuff through the register. And a lot of people just said, I just want to apply it to store credit. I'm like, okay.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, James and Portage, I hope you can hang on here. We are talking with Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports of Madison. Great to have him with us. And we will take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll talk to James from Portage and everybody else. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. We're talking about getting out on the water and paddling, fall paddling with our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest, Darren Bushback, with us. He's the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. So, do you like paddling in the fall? What's your favorite waterway? Other questions about canoeing and kayaking, I hope you'll join in. Call us at 800-642-1234, email at ideas@wpr.org. And James in Portage has been waiting a bit, Darren, so let's go there. James, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This summer, I canoed the entire Wisconsin River, and doing that trip, of course, all the portages, I did a little damage, not too bad to the Old Town canoe we're in. And I was guess my question is, you know, what can be done to fix some of those scrapes and some of the cosmetic damage?
This is a Royal X canoe, I'm assuming.
Oh, sorry, say that again.
What model is it?
It's a Pentecosta. 17-foot Old Town.
Penobscot 17. Yeah. Okay. That's made out of Royal X. So Royal X is an interesting material. It's got, you know, kind of that soft vinyl outside with a really hard ABS core. If it's not through and it's just scratched, don't worry about it. If you don't see the white core, it's just cosmetic. There's really nothing to do. If you're starting to see the core, especially in the bow and stern, you'll see that sometimes when people just, you know, the bow and stern take a lot of wear. You can put a skid plate on it, and a skid plate is basically, it's Kevlar felt that you wet out with some epoxy and apply over that area, and it adds massive amount of durability to it. So that's all you really can do. And there's really no reason to do anything to the other stuff other than cosmetics unless you want to buy a new boat and... Which is okay too, but
okay, all right. And do you have that kind of material at Rutabaga? Or?
Yeah, we do. We do skid plates all the time, and you can either put them on yourself, which is really easy, or not. However you want to do it is fine. We've got people in town that'll do it. There's a guy that repairs boats, so we can either way. So
all right. There you go, James. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Howard emailed that he will be shopping for a new vehicle soon, and he says one of the things a weirdo paddler like him looks for is what kind of rails or racks are on the top of the vehicle for transporting boats, multiple boats, as a matter of fact. Some vehicles have gutters to which you attach clips. Some have rails to which you attach bars. Any clear advantages to certain systems over others?
Not really. The best system is one that fits your car. That's it, basically. So that's that. Just get one that fits your car. The rails are easier. If you have side rails that go front to back on your car, it's easier to put a rack on those. But it doesn't mean that it's better or worse. It's just different.
Okay. Kyle emailed, he's a large man, stands 6'6", and suffice it to say has some girth, and his center of gravity is well above the canoe. He hadn't canoed since he was shorter and thinner, and so this is a new challenge for him. Do you have recommendations on techniques or styles of canoes that can help compensate? He's already dumped the canoe once.
So a couple things. Number one, the wider the canoe, the more stable it is. But you can get to a point where it's difficult to reach the water if it's too wide. What a lot of folks do, his size, is convert a small tandem into a solo. And there's a couple boats that work really well for that. One is the Winona Solo Plus, which is actually has three seats in it, but I've had them built before for people who are, you know, 300 pounds plus who want a solo canoe. And that works great. The Prospector models, 15s and 16s, both work great as solos. If you flip a 15 around and paddle it backwards, it's a great solo canoe. And that's what I do when I take my 100-pound Newfie with me.
All right. A couple of good suggestions there. Nancy from Shatec emailed. She has half a Bending Branches kayak paddle. Other half is at the bottom of the lake, dropped by a kid paddler. Yeah, a whole paddle floats. Half a paddle, taken apart by me, the grandma, does not. Will bending branches replace a half? Also, do you have a shorter kid paddle? Some should kid paddles, paddlers ages 4 and 9, use a shorter paddle?
So the answer to the first question is unfortunately no, and that's because the paddles are built basically to be perfectly mated with the other half. So if you built another half, it probably wouldn't match up exactly. That's just the manufacturing technique. As far as shorter paddles, absolutely. Kids need shorter paddles, but that also correlates with lighter paddles. So giving a kid a short, heavy paddle isn't really an advantage.
Yeah. So is there, do you stand the paddle up next to the kid and or something like that to sort of gauge, or what do you do?
Well, it's tricky because if you're sitting in the bottom of the canoe, it doesn't matter. If you're sitting in a seat and you can reach over the side, that's okay. Frankly, we stock 42-inch paddles for kids. And the reason is, they did make a 36, but we find that the kid that has a 36-inch paddle isn't contributing anyway. They're just kind of waving it around and splashing in the water. And they can do that with a longer paddle. But when they grow into the 42, they're actually contributing and paddling and enjoying it. So that's the ones we normally stock. After that, you're into a small adult paddle, so there's no reason to have multiple sizes of a kid paddle.
Yeah, that makes sense. Bill in Menominee emailed us for recommendations on good, lightweight, non-metal canoe for a couple of semi-experienced canoers. Also, the Ogalle Recreation Area in Spring Valley, Wisconsin is a great place for novice kayakers, canoers to practice because it's a non-gas-only reservoir.
Yeah, lovely. Yes, so that's like saying what's the best car. It totally depends on what they're going to do. So if he wants to write in more information, or he can email me or call me or whatever. It depends on the kind of water he's in. Depends, you know, are you paddling the Kickapoo, or are you paddling, you know, big lakes? Are you paddling mostly streams or mostly rivers? And, you know, any moving water at all. So if you're paddling the Kickapoo, it's different than paddling the Brule, right? So there's so much variation in water in Wisconsin, which is, you know, one of the reasons I love it here so much, is that there really isn't one perfect boat for everything, but there are boats that can do everything pretty well.
Yeah. Well, he mentioned the Ogalle Recreation Area. Would that help in making a decision if that's the area that he wanted to spend a lot of time on?
In that case, he'd be in a flatwater type canoe, maybe something with a little bit of rocker to make it a little more maneuverable. But you don't need a big boat if you're not tripping. And a lot of people buy, you know, 17, 18 foot boats in case they go on a trip someday. And I always said it's like buying a moving truck and driving it around town in case you move. You know, that's what renting is for. So, you know, buy a little 15, 16 footer, something like a Novacraft Bob Special, or, you know, Winona makes a Prospector 15, that's a really nice little boat, or a Heron. I mean, there's a lot of 15, 16 footers, and that's probably our biggest seller right now, is that people aren't doing expedition trips, they're doing long weekends.
Yeah, it makes sense. Chris in Menominee has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I have a kayak question. My wife and I are well into our 60s, and we are interested in getting into kayaks to purchase. We've both tried some smaller Pelicans, and it's been advised that maybe we should be looking at, I don't know if it's an upgrade or not, Old Town Loon or Durago, or I don't know how to pronounce it. Sure. But we're both also on, we're hefty.
Yeah, okay.
And so I'm just looking for a recommendation on length, or, you know, a Loon versus this other model I mentioned.
Yeah, so it's Durago, which is actually the state model of Maine, which is where Old Town's made. It means I lead in Latin. So but they don't make them anymore. The Loon is the one that I think is the more interesting one. The biggest thing for people in your demographic is weight. You know, picking picking it up and putting it on your car or in your truck or whatever. And that's huge. And then the other is seat comfort. The problem with the less expensive boats like the Pelicans is that the seats usually aren't super comfortable because they're trying to keep the weight down and trying to keep the expense, more likely keep the expense down. The seat in the Loon is stunningly comfortable. I was on the advisory team when we designed that seat. Well, I didn't design it. I was on the advisory team to basically shoot holes at it after they designed it. And it was a three-year project. And it came about because I said, stop trying to make a boat and then make a comfortable seat. Make a comfortable seat and build the boat around it. And when they did that, they hit it out of the park. So that seat from Old Town is just wonderful. It's a great, great comfy seat. I would also look at the Wilderness Systems Pungo, which is another boat with a fun seat. The other one I'd look at is from Hurricane. They make a boat called the Santee. And that's made out of a different material. It's polycarbonate, so it's quite a bit lighter, as much as 10 pounds lighter, and that makes a difference when you're picking boats up and moving them around.
Yeah, for sure. So there's some good tips for you, Chris. Appreciate your call. Did you have a follow-up?
No, I was trying to get all the names. It was a Santee and a Hurricane.
Oh, yep. Let's just do this. Just send me an email. It's Darren, D-A-R-R-E-N. At rutabaga.com.
Sounds like a plan, Darren. Thank you.
I'll send you back an email with everything that I just said.
All right. Charles and Trevor. Trevor, your turn. Hi.
Thank you for taking the call. We are planning on going up by the Apostle Islands here in the next week or two. I currently have an Old Town Vapor 12-foot, and they're riding a 10-foot Vapor. Just wondering if those are long enough to get out on the Superior to go out and see some of the sea caves out there, obviously on a calm day.
This is always a hard question for me, because my initial answer is, well, no. And the reason is there's no such thing as a calm day on Superior, because it can be calm and then half an hour later there's 2-foot chop, and then half an hour later there's 4-foot chop. And especially around Sand Bay, because you've got 60 miles of open water coming from the northwest into a very shallow area. So it's actually one of the more dangerous places to paddle on Lake Superior. And if you were completely dressed for immersion, i.e. in a dry suit or something like that, and you're with a group, you could certainly paddle, a Vapor 12 into the caves, poke around like that. But it's just, it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up a little bit when people talk about taking recreational boats onto Lake Superior.
Yeah. There you go, Charles. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Well, Sue in Stoughton called to say she lost her husband a couple of years ago and doesn't have anyone to canoe with. Are there any groups where she can meet up with other paddlers?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a very active organization in Madison called Mad City Paddlers. They're wonderful and very accommodating, and there's actually several widows in the group who lost their husbands who are there for that very reason. So I'm sorry for your loss. I hope that you can find people to paddle with, but definitely check out Mad City Paddlers. Betty is one of their Betty is like a weasel on crack. She just doesn't stop moving. She's fantastic. But she will take you under her wing and make sure that you have a great experience there.
All right, Mad City Paddlers. Ray and Cable emailed that she has a fiberglass Sawyer Cruiser and a Winova Kevlar. What do you recommend as the best stable canoe for places like Upper Nemecagon that is rock friendly?
Probably neither one of those. The Sawyer Cruiser, frankly, is a beautiful, wonderful flatwater boat that isn't made anymore. And to take one in moving water is a little bit of a sin. So we don't want to do that. You're probably better off looking at something made out of a material called T-Formex, which is kind of a replacement for the old Royal X. And those boats can take Class 1, 2 very, very easily and still paddle pretty well depending on the design. I can help you with that process. If you want to, again, send me an email, I'll give you some ideas to look at.
All right. Let's go to Laura, who emailed to say she doesn't swim and always wears a life jacket. Can you talk about the differences between the different styles? The prices are also very different, too. Also, do you have suggestions for routes that have shallow water?
Okay. A couple things. Number one, I don't swim well, so I wear a life jacket. Just take out the I don't swim well. Everybody should wear a life jacket. There's no reason not to at this point. They're very comfortable. It's not like the old days where they're up around your neck. The number of accidents in Wisconsin every year for drowning and such, it's usually in the, 12 to 15. Pretty much virtually all of them involve not wearing a PFD or alcohol or both. So if you're wearing your PFD, your chances of getting in trouble are nil. Or almost nil. The end of the day, it's better to have it on and wish you'd take it off because it's hot, or than not have it on and wish you could put it on. So, there's my sermon. As far as different types, there's five different types of PFDs according to the Coast Guard. Ignore all of them except for five and three. Type one is the ones they use on cruise liners that are huge and you can't move in them, but they'll turn your right side up if you're in the water unconscious. So those aren't really practical. Type three is kind of your standard PFD that zips up the front. That's the majority of what we sell. Type five is one that pulls over your head, usually low volume, more for whitewater and such. So we don't, they're not really relevant to you either. The biggest difference is comfort level and features. So the more you spend on a life jacket, the more comfortable it is. The more comfortable it is, the more likely you are to wear it. So that's they run from, you're right, from $50 to $150 and more. But I'd say the average price is around $100. You can get a pretty nice jacket that's going to fit well and be comfortable for right around $100.
Yeah, and tell you what, if you take a dump in the water, you're going to be darn happy that you had that on.
Yep. And as far as routes with shallow water, every river changes. The Wisconsin River is, 1 foot deep, and then all of a sudden it's 10 feet deep. So I can't really say what is a shallow river or not. A lot of them are shallower, but you just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Rosie in Ashland will give you a chance now. Hi, Rosie.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
I have a story about canoeing. My brother is a fan and an engineer, and he designed and built his own wooden kayak and made extra room because he's got really long legs, so there would be room enough for them to fit in his kayak. But when he put it in the water and tried to get in, he realized he had not allowed for his really tall feet.
Oh. So what do you do?
So his wife to paddle it now.
So he didn't. So sometimes engineers will do things like that, I guess. Darren.
Well, he's not the first person to build something and then go, oh, wait, I forgot. I have to get in it, right?
Greg in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Maybe you commented on this, so excuse me if you did, but what is your opinion about the new generation of life jackets that are deflated and are very small and flat and have a little built-in gas cylinder that you pull, much like you would an inflatable flotation device on an aircraft?
Sure. I think they're great. The only caveat is that if you're unconscious, they don't work, right? There's two kinds of those. There's the ones that have a little, like a Alka-Seltzer pill in them, that when you hit the water, it goes away, and then a pin punctures the thing and it inflates, and those are automatic. Those are really good for if you're on a fishing boat or you're out in a power boat. If you fall in the water, you're going to get poofed. If you're in a kayak, you're close to the water, and if you get a splash, your jacket's going to go poof. So the manual ones are better for that. The cool part is there's also one that's called a hybrid, and that is it has some flotation on it, and then it has extra flotation if you want it. and it's called the Chimera. It's from a company called Mustang, and they're very comfortable. I'm a strong swimmer, so if I fell in, I would have the flotation that I wanted, and I can get back in my boat. But if it's cold and I start to feel like I can't get back in, I can pull that and give myself an extra little boost.
There you go. Thank you so much. I wanted to mention that the DNR is evaluating surface water quality standards as part of a review they do every 3 years, as it's required by the Federal Clean Water Act.
Sure.
It allows the public to weigh in on how the agency should focus its resources to best protect public water. So if you want to participate, see the link on today's program note on our website. Go to WPR.org/Larry and look at the program notes. Or you can go to the DNRWisconsin.gov and search for TSR. And the suggestions are only through September 14th. So if you want to say something, now would be a good time to do it. That would be a very good
thing. The only caveat is that it doesn't include things about CAFOs. So things that are, it's pretty specific. So don't send in a rant about how much CAFOs are horrible or you will get nothing.
Okay. And on that note, Darren, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Yeah. Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports of Madison. We'll have him back and we'll do this again. Lots of great questions today. Tomorrow at 11, Chad Spate and Christy Weber will be back to talk about home additions and what to consider before you start a project. That's tomorrow on the Ideas Network. But you know what? There's lots more in store through the afternoon here. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller.